Song of Solomon passage goes like this. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. And then from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we can probably all affirm that your love for us is great. Help us really to get into it today and to understand. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher here this morning, instructing us and leading us, that we might be people who demonstrate your love to the world around us. Thank you for your word and your spirit. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, if we're going to talk about love, we have to talk about love songs, don't we? They are as common as you can imagine. There are thousands and thousands of them, I'm sure. You can find a love song in classical music. You can find a love song in opera. You can find a love song in rock and roll or country music. Country music has some winners, doesn't it? One of my favorites is John Anderson's tune from 1982, Swingin'. You know that one? Or as he says it, Swangin'? Swangin', yeah. That one sounds a little bit more familiar. Little Charlotte Jones, she's as pretty as the angels when they sing. I can't believe I'm out here on the front porch swing. Just a swingin'. That might explain why there is this porch swing on the parsonage, huh? But there is no Charlotte, only Colleen, to be sure. My favorite rock and roll song, one of them, is from Paul McCartney. You may remember him from the Beatles fame. After the Beatles broke apart, he started his own band, and in 1984 came out with Silly Little Love Songs. You remember that one? See some heads going up and down. You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs. I look around me and I see it isn't so. Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. And what's wrong with that? I'd like to know. Because here I go again. And then the chorus is, I love you, over and over and over again. A silly little love song. The world is full of love songs, and the Bible, nonetheless, as well. We've got one this morning from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Chose one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament because it just shows the consistency and the strength of this message from God, and that is that love does not fail. It is enduring. Song of Songs says many waters cannot quench love, and point blank Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails. Paul McCartney wrote his song because he was being criticized for silly little love songs, for being a little bit fluffy, for not really having any depth or substance in his songs. So he said, okay, I'll write another love song. And it's a silly love song. Fluffy, bouncy, and very, very popular. That was his response to his critics that he was singing silly love songs. It was to write one. How about our faith? Do these comments here, are they fluff? Is there any substance here? Is there any meat to this statement that love never fails? After all, that's our theme in worship this fall, love like God in a loveless world. I can think that you're probably there. I often put myself in the pew beside you as I'm preparing and think that you're nodding, yeah. Love never fails, but in the back of your mind, you're probably thinking of some times in your life when love did fail, or when love did not come through. It seems that our lives are littered with broken promises, so many stories of love lost. How do we make sense of this, of a love that never fails, and yet our lives that are often in need of real, deep love? Well, love that is never ending and does not fail is a consistent message throughout Scripture. And what I want to do with you this morning is just share with you three stories, three instances in Scripture where this occurs. And I choose stories because these are real events. It's not just a statement. It's not poetry. This is times where God shows that love doesn't fail. He says it, and he also shows it. So three stories. The unfaithful wife, the uncommitted disciple, and the unimaginable sacrifice. Those three stories are listed there for you in your bulletin. These are true stories, as I said. They're not fanciful, they're not made up, they're not fluffy. They happen. Story number one, the unfaithful wife, okay? This is a story of Hosea the prophet. A story written 800 years before Jesus ever even came on the scene. And very often, prophets, as spokespersons for God, would preach, they would make statements, but they would also do things that demonstrated what God was all about. They spoke, but they also did things. They got caught up in a story. God asked them to do things, some of them rather unusual. And Hosea's story is rather unusual, too. God asked him to go out and marry a woman named Gomer. Now, you might think, that's unusual in and of itself. I would not want to marry somebody named Gomer. I guess it was a common name back then, okay? Because that's not the point of the story, the name of this woman. It was the way she lived her life. She was unfaithful to Hosea. She was what we would call an adulterous wife. At one point, Hosea even had to go to another man's house and buy her back. Now, buying a woman like that makes me think of the word prostitute. That's not used in Hosea, but the only word we have is adulteress. She was less than a good wife, shall we put it like that. And the reason that God said to Hosea to do this is so that those actions would demonstrate to the Israel people, the Israelites, that God's love is amazing and unending. Hosea chapter 3, that's on the back page of your bulletin there, says this. The Lord said to me, Hosea, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. So Hosea preached, but he also practiced what he preached. He lived out a story. And my sharing the story with you today is not to make any comments about your past or what has been done to you or anything like that. If I were to do that, I'd have to probably preach 40-some-odd different sermons, okay? The point is just to say that very often the way we live our lives is that Bible that other people read. Very often the way we live out our story is that testimony, is that sermon, is that love song to the rest of the world. And so we've got to ask ourselves when we are in tough situations, is the way that I'm living my life showing God's unfailing love to this community? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. And that's going to be hard, people. I know this because you have shared with me your stories. And many of them are amazing and astounding. And you have trusted me with very personal things. And I am amazed at some of the stories that you folks have lived, the burdens that you have carried for many years. This is not going to be easy work. But this is often what God wants us to do. As we find ourselves in our stories, where God has called us, like it has been given to us, we say, will anybody else looking at this life know of God's great love? Ask yourself that question. Story number two, the uncommitted disciple. This is a story that we just got into briefly last week. It's the story of Peter and what happened to him in his life. The story from John 21. Peter started out so well. Peter started out as one of the favorite disciples. I imagine him to be the life of the party. I imagine him to be loaded with personality and drive. And he was so amazing, I guess, that Jesus said at one point, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a nickname. Do you remember what his nickname was? The Rock. It's Peter, I'm going to build my church right on you. Okay? The reason I say I guess is because Peter lived kind of a double life. Peter did and said a lot of things that wouldn't really make him, you wouldn't think he was a great disciple. And the greatest of all of these stories is from the end of Jesus' life, where Peter denied his Lord three times. As Jesus was being tried and nailed to the cross and what have you, Peter said three times, I don't even know this guy. I've never associated with him. I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know this man, Jesus. You would think that Jesus would have said later on, yeah, Peter, what goes around comes around, I don't know you either. Peter, it's time for me to go to the nominating committee and see if we can come up with a better leader here. That just would make all the sense in the world, wouldn't it? But Jesus does not do that. And that's why we have that wonderful 21st chapter of John. I've included just one of those verses on the back of your bulletin there, where Jesus approaches Peter after he is raised from the dead and begins to deal with him. Doesn't stick his nose up in the air. He doesn't turn his back on Peter at all, but he approaches him and asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? And that third time really got to Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. That word there, hurt, that says it all, doesn't it? Peter denied his Lord three times. Jesus came to him three times and asked him, Peter, do you love me? Well, the Bible says love never fails, and here is our second story. There are so many others, too, of Jesus not giving up on Peter, but remaining faithful to him and doing the hard work of pulling him back in. And I want to say to you, too, that if we are going to love in this community, a love that never fails, sometimes we are going to have to do hard work of restoration, of pulling somebody back in, of being patient with them, of praying over long years, whatever that might be. It's going to be hard work, and it might even hurt. I've mentioned one of my own family members to you. It's not anybody you've met, and I don't want to use any names, but this family member, I have no idea how to even approach this family member. I have no idea what to even say. And if you want to pull me aside sometime and pray with me, I would love that. But, you know, I was talking with one of you this week, and we were talking about these tough situations, and somebody said to me, it's like talking to a tree. I have no idea what to say to this family member. And I know some of you have shared with me that you're in situations like that too. And yet we have these stories of Jesus not giving up, of restoring, reconciling, pulling people back in. And that's what we're going to have to do too. So I'm going to continue through the fall this worship series of loving like God. But I tell you, there are some times when I wish I knew how to do this too. and I know you're right there with me. And so we're in this together, aren't we? What I do know, though, is that there is a beautiful love song, not a silly love song, that underlies our whole universe, that it is powered by the Holy Spirit of God, and that it will win out. It does change lives. It does change communities, and I will continue to wait for that to happen in my own situations. After Peter was asked three times by the Lord, "Do you love me?" Jesus went a step further and prophesied that Peter would be killed. And you can go home and read the whole chapter of John 21 at some point. But Jesus predicts that Peter would even give his life for the Christian faith and the Christian movement. And that's kind of a parallel to our third and final story, a story of unimaginable sacrifice, a story that beyond any other really shows us that love does not fail. You know, this book that I just read to the kids, The Giving Tree, it's one of my favorites. I love it. Years after I had read it and read it to my daughters, I heard from someone that Brennan Manning, who's a wonderful Christian author that I recommend to you, had approached Shel Silverstein, who had become a Christian, and said, "You're an author. You write great books. Why don't you write a book that really summarizes what you think the gospel is and what it means to you?" And out of that challenge from Brennan Manning to Shel Silverstein came The Giving Tree. It is a reflection in some way of the gospel, of somebody who gave up everything for us. Back of your bulletins there, you'll read from John 13:1, which is what I read to the kids. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This, my friends, is the best of all the stories. And I would totally understand that Jesus had said, "Enough of all of this. You know, I'm just not going to go through with this. I'm just dying for not even a good reason. I'm dying for sins. I'm dying for filth. I'm dying for people that don't deserve this. Let's put an end to all of this." But he did. He chose the cross for you and me. He really chose to lay aside every reason, every thing that he could think of that would keep him away, and went to the cross. There's a big discussion going on right now among people that are burnt or hurt or have been slapped around by failed love, and that's the discussion of boundaries, and it's a very important one. There will be times in your life when you will need to put up boundaries against someone that has hurt you. There will come times for some of us when you need to say that you can't see someone anymore because that person is dangerous or whatever. I'm not trying to dismiss boundaries. I think it's an important discussion to have. But I want you to remember there was one time in our history where all the boundaries fell away. And then our Lord and Creator said, "There will be no boundaries this time. There will only be boundless love." You know, the disciples really thought their world had come to an end, but it was just beginning because of love. They were shocked by what had happened. They thought the love that they had given to their Lord Jesus had been betrayed and was for no good at all, but they were to find out as Jesus came out of the tomb that God's love is unfailing. God's love is as real as these stories that I've shared with you. In our first sermon in this series, I shared with you that love is not a philosophy, it's not an idea. It's not a religion, it's not a church program. It is an action, it is something that has happened. And we can sing that. It's not a silly love song. And I ask you, invite you with me to go out into this community this week and sing these love songs.